countdown.
Oh, snap. You actually saw the countdown.
I did. All right. So you want me to start talking about that Taco Bell thing now that we're rolling?
Yeah, go for it. Do whatever you want, man.
No, I just saw that they have a new thing. It's like a fried empanada thing or whatever.
So, okay. We'll introduce the episode and then that can be a start, little fun tidbit to this.
Sorry. Oh, is this actually related to the topic that you want to talk about?
Not at all. But I mean, we could talk about it just casually.
Everything with you is casual.
Don't remind me of that.
Hey, that's all right. I you know what? I feel your pain. I've been like just speaking of casual. I've just been casually browsing Uber Eats.
Yeah.
And that's how it came up. But I just stumbled across this pizza place that looks pretty interesting. But anyway, it's You Know the Drill with Sam and Rutz, and today we're talking about stuff as usual.
Exactly. Stuff as usual. I like it.
Business as usual, except in our case, it's stuff. Stuff as usual.
That's a vibe. It totally tracks. Oh my God. Okay. So you're talking about this fried empanada, right? Are you talking like it's like a caramel apple empanada? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I think it's chicken. Actually, I don't really know. Maybe.
Okay. Okay. So I loosely know what you're talking about then. So this was all about. This isn't what the episode is about, people, but this is fun to talk about because, you know, we haven't talked about it. Taco Bell, like, as of recording, so this was probably like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They had their Live Moss event. Did you hear about this?
No.
So they basically went on an hour live stream. And like they announced all their new products that are coming out this year and a bunch of
things. Cool.
That's why when you mentioned the empanada, one of the things that they're trying to do is, you know how they brought back bringing back the Mexican pizza last year was a big thing. So this year, they're essentially having people vote between the caramel apple empanada and
one
other item. And I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. But they're basically going to go through a voting period, and then they're going to bring one back either semi-permanently or permanently by Halloween.
Ooh, I wonder if it's the chicken sandwich taco. I really liked that.
I think it's something similar. You know, like I know it's something similar along that similar vein. But
well, they need to bring back the quesarito. I can't believe I can't believe they finally got rid of that. Go ahead.
No, so the big thing that they're not bringing back, but they're expanding on is, you know, people love the crunch wrap, right?
Yeah.
And it's fine. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't get what all the hubbub is about.
Well, okay. So for me, because we have like the box deals out here are ridiculous because everything when it comes to even Taco Bell now is expensive as all hell.
Yeah.
And so I'm fine with getting a crunch wrap if I can get like basically a whole meal for $5. You know what I mean? Like I ain't turning that down.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're revamping the Crunchwrap now, apparently in a partnership with, I think it's Nabisco that owns Cheez-It. Or no, that's
not. Yeah, you know, I saw that. I actually saw it, and I'm not going to lie. That, excuse me.
It was a night.
Thank you. I'm not going to lie. That I kind of want to try. I love right? Cheez-Its.
Oh my God, I love Cheez-It. I wish it was extra toasty.
Mm. Do you remember the this is before we had the podcast, so I don't remember. I think we're talking fairly regularly at this point, but do you remember the Cheez-It pizza at Pizza Hut?
Yes, loosely. I never tried it, but
it was so good, and I'd kill a man if they would bring that back.
Oh my God!
No, I mean to say, I would kill a man for them to bring it back. I should say, I'm not gonna be if they bring it back. I'm not gonna be like, oh, I gotta kill somebody now.
Do it.
No, pizza.
I was a
pizza. You know, there's gonna be a news story about somebody like getting killed over because Pizza Hut still hasn't brought back their Cheez-It, and now I'm gonna be like a number one suspect.
just maybe there's maybe evidence against you now. Just a little bit.
Oh, speaking of which, I know we're really going off the rails here. It's one of those. But I watched Jury Duty the other day. Now, okay, not to be mistaken for like the show, I'm talking about like the 1996 Pauly Shore movie.
Okay.
It's really bad.
It's Pauly Shore. Most of those movies are bad.
Listen, so I like his first two movies. I like Sonic. Well, not his first two movies, but first two of the like that Pauly Shore era. I like Encino Man. I really like it's just dumb fun. And Son-in-Law is, I think, like easily his best movie. Like it's actually not a bad movie, and I like Son-in-Law. But Biodome.
Yeah, I was like, Biodome is dumb as shit, but I've seen it so many times. I've seen it so many times because I had a friend who loved Pauly Shore, and that's his favorite movie of his, that it's like ingrained in my brain to be at least somewhat positive about it.
Oh, no, that's I watched it once. I got it for free at a flea market. DVD vendor was like, here, do you want this? I was like, yeah, sure. And I disliked it so much that I gave it away to somebody. and I haven't seen all of In the Army Now. I kind of want to just because I like the first. I like Encino Man and Son-in-Law. But Jury Duty was so, so bad. It's like, yeah, anyway. All right, we'll get back to.
Oh, my God. Six, 7 minutes in and we're already officially flown off the rails.
We're getting sidetracked on the sidetrack.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we are. Okay, well. To try and catch up a little bit, if you want us to talk more, have us talk about Taco Bell. That's an interesting. We could do a whole episode about that because that is an insane company when it comes to marketing.
Yeah, maybe we could, you know, do an episode where we try those empanadas or whatever.
The Taco Bell Hotel and all that fun jazz.
Yeah, I did, and also the when you sent me that Jack in the Box video, I really hope they're going to roll out some of that stuff because that looked great, and they also were featuring the. The chicken croissant sandwich that used to be on the Munchies menu that is the so croissant? Good.
The croissant?
You do Jack in the Box, right? Do you remember that sandwich?
Not really. I really do Jack in the Box for the curly fries and the tacos. Meat tacos.
No, yeah, that croissant chicken sandwich was part of their Munchies meal lineup. Like there was a while where they had like actual sandwiches dedicated to the Munchies meal instead of it just being like a late night combo deal. But anyway, I digress. Let's
I was like, I think I remember that. Why do I remember that?
It was very good, and I saw it in that video, and I'm like, when are they gonna, because I keep checking my Jack in the Box app to see what's going on, and it's still just like they're focusing on the Smash Burger, which is like I see so many places try and call something a Smash Burger when it's just like, I mean, I guess the technique is still there, but when I think of Smash Burger, I think of like a thin patty, like a crispy thin patty. And I feel like that should be, you know, otherwise you're just, what's the point of even smashing? I don't know. I'm not a cook, so it just doesn't make sense to me.
I was like, isn't like Shake Shack the one who's like known for Smash Burgers or something like that?
I think they're Smash Burger style, but even then, I don't think they do the super crispy. The super thin crispy. The ones that do the super thin and crispy, like the thinnest and the crispiest burger patties, I think are at Freddy's.
No idea what that is.
Oh, maybe they don't have them by you. Freddy's frozen custard and steak burgers. And then of course, Steak and Shake. Steak and Shake does really thin steak burgers.
I was thinking of Steak and Shake, not the other one.
Yeah, they're known for doing the super thin patties, and you know, I like that. I like that burger style.
Interesting. I mean, I'm always down for like a good smash burger, but like, you know, nowadays it's if I'm getting a good one, I have to go really local. You know?
Yeah.
Like, believe it or not, in my local town, there used to be a sausage place that actually made the best smash burgers in town.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they closed, which is, I mean, I understand why.
That's unfortunate, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. But they were, for being a small business in kind of a shitty location, like, it was a good location, right, for the building and how the building was set up. They capitalized on that location.
Yeah, yeah, for
but
sure.
But it was a shitty location. I didn't even, I went by one day and I was like, they're like, last day? I'm like, what? No.
Oh no.
It was horrible.
Yeah. We lost a local pizza place that I really liked. They had this insanely good mac and cheese pizza with like cayenne candy bacon.
Ooh.
Oh yeah.
At this point, I feel like we should just scrap the episode and just talk about food.
No. Hold on a second. It's 10 minutes. Okay, we can still salvage this. Let's roll into it. What's the topic? I don't even know.
Okay. All right. So for once, we're talking about big corporations bullying social media and winning. And for once, I'm on their side.
Ah. Okay. Yeah. Because if there's one thing that we can get behind, it's anything that's against social media.
Well, okay. I had to preface that because I think that's the only way I could get you behind this, because it is literally big corporation, you know, versus social media at this point. So I don't know if you've heard, because I know you know, briefly look at the news, but you know, not necessarily
as much. It sometimes crosses my path.
Right.
I read a headline or two, as the kids do these days, literally.
Oh, the worst, I swear. but essentially, there's this big... it was, because at the time of the recording, it's technically over, but you know, we'll see how much it develops now. But you grew up in an era, right? Because we all, you know, we grew up when YouTube
was popping off. I grew up in an era, sure, yeah.
Sure. And we remember where, like, music used to be freely available on YouTube, right?
Is it not anymore?
Well, so, like, I mean, like, creators could use basically any song in their stuff and then...
Oh, I see what you're saying. God, I guess. I don't really remember that period so much. I feel like... When even was that?
Oof, late, what do they call them? Late aughts, early 2010s, something like that. Okay, well, regardless, that's just putting in some context. So, sure. I know since you don't use TikTok, right?
Yeah, fuck TikTok.
TikTok is the center of the story, whoops. Unfortunately.
I guess we're making this explicit, my bad.
Okay, that's fine. So TikTok is at the center of the story because until, like, I think so. Probably this week, let's say, as of recording, you could pretty much use any song that's in existence for the most part.
Really?
As a sound on TikTok.
Really?
Yeah. So originally it was based on, like, TikTok had, like, it was the Wild West, right? So they were just using it, and then they partnered with a bunch of the music labels and whatnot. And then, so they had a partnership with them, right? And I mean, at this point, right, as someone who works, you know, in press related to music, right?
Yeah, this is right in your wheelhouse.
Exactly. In general, a lot of artists make music for TikTok, right? Like, you can look at a Spotify or, you know, look at Apple Music, right? And you can look at an artist who would have, let's say, like a song that's like a, you know, 1.5 million streams, right?
Yeah.
But then everything else is less than 50,000. And you know that's the TikTok effect, right? They had that one song that was clipped, like a 15-second clip of their song.
Right, it kind of...
And it goes viral.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Or in context, and this is, it does bother me, like this is a thing for me, is, you know, artists, again, they're making their music for social media because it is ridiculously, I'm not going to say it's ridiculously easy, but it's much easier now than it has ever been. To pop off on TikTok and get a small following for smaller artists, right?
Right.
Just for virality's sake.
Yeah.
However, TikTok is the least paying of, you know, the most general platforms. However, like, the general strategy now, like, let's say...
TikTok is where you go to get recognized and you go other places to actually make the money, I guess?
Exactly. Okay. So you can make some money from TikTok, but the idea is... Build a wide audience on TikTok and then try to get as many of them to move over to YouTube or Instagram or whatever where you can get paid more.
Okay.
And so, like, there's a lot of artists and even some artists that come in through my inbox that are like, you know, hey, here's my song. It's barely 2 minutes and, you know, it's perfect for social media, right? And
right.
I call that out in almost every one of my, you know, anytime that comes out or comes across my desk. It's like, I generally am thinking like, you need to be close to 3 minutes to be a song, I guess you could say.
And yeah, so you're very anti sub, well, let's say sub 250 minute songs or sub 2 minute songs or whatever, something like that.
Okay, so well, let's put it this way then. I think like in my brain and from my professional stance, yes. From a personal stance, if you look at my stats, a good number of my songs every year are the shorter ones that are like, you know, minute 45, two minutes, 5 seconds. And that's because it's the TikTok effect is what I'm attributing to. Because we play them because they're short.
Well, and here's the thing too, to sort of piggyback on what you're saying is like, I definitely understand that because I feel like a song that's, honestly, any song that's under 3 minutes, you know, maybe let's be fair and say under two minutes, 45 seconds.
Yeah, that's
fine. I always feel like, you know, I always feel like I didn't get enough of it. You know, like I'm always, anytime it's a,
and then I replay it. That's the feeling I'm getting. Yeah.
But I don't like replaying music. So it's like whenever, you know, like there are some songs I love that are like, you know, and they're not TikTok songs because, well, I already said it once, so I'll say it again. Fuck TikTok. Where this is already an explicit episode. No, you know, like a lot of older, like maybe 60s songs, you know, sometimes are under 3 minutes. 50s songs, definitely. And, you know, there's only so much you can do about that. But it's like sometimes, like, for instance, okay, there's a song that I really enjoy. And it's like, it's this song from like a TurboGrafx game or whatever, TurboGrafx CD. The game is called It Came from the Desert. And the song is Sea of Love. It's a really cool song. But, you know, because it's like, you know, a video game track, it's under 2 minutes. And it's I love that song. No, it's not a chiptune. It's a CD. It's a TurboGrafx CD. I think TurboGrafx CD or something like that.
Okay, I was thinking in style, but that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, it's not even. It's a song.
Okay.
So like, yeah. So it's under. I think it's under 2 minutes. I could be wrong. It's definitely like it's on the short side, and it's like I love listening to it, but then it's like I'm like, man, I just wish it was longer, you know. And again, it's nothing against the song. It's nothing against anything, really. It's just I'm always disappointed when a song is, like you said, is under 3 minutes, or maybe even, I'm just, you know what, at this point, I'm going to say under 3 minutes. Like, I really want, like, when you have a song that's 3 minutes, it's like you got to reach your climax.
Yeah. And you're basically being musically edged.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
exactly what you mean.
Yeah. It's not long enough for you.
Right. Well, like, so for example, I see it a lot in the EDM scene, right? Like, there's an artist who, according to my stats, I love. And I like a lot. I do like his style.
According to your stats, that's something a robot would say.
Oh, God, I know. But it's true, unfortunately, in this case. Like, I think...
But do you love this artist as a human being would?
Yeah,
no. There we go. Anyway, go on.
You got me. You're showing my new AI colors. That's what you're showing.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, you know, a lot of his songs are just over 2 minutes. And unfortunately, I'm okay with that. Unfortunately, I'm okay with that. I don't necessarily know why. But regardless, it's not necessarily the point, but I'm trying to showcase, you know, TikTok is hand in hand with the music industry now, essentially.
Yeah, so if you were not okay with it, that would be fortunate.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Logic.
Rut's logic.
Yes. Girl math.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I'm a big believer in girl math. I saw that making the rounds on social media. I was like, oh, yeah, that's what I do. All of those. That's, yeah. Yep. That's exactly it.
Girl math, that's fine.
Yeah, no, I'm a big believer in it.
Yeah, if you book a trip and you pay it off completely before you go, it's a free trip. Girl math.
Well, okay, maybe not that part. But although I will say, like, if I buy something and then it doesn't come up until like months later, I don't feel like I bought it at that point. So I feel like, you know, so there we go, girl math.
the one that gets me is going and buying Starbucks. But if you buy with money that's already in the wallet and you're not spending your money, it's not your money and it's free.
Oh, you mean like cash?
Either cash is free, or you can use the app and like load money, right? Like load money into a virtual wallet.
Oh, okay. And, no, I definitely.
So you can just prepay. And so if you do that way, you know, it doesn't come out of your account because it already did. So it's free.
No, yeah, I totally get that. And yeah, you would use the Starbucks thing. Of course you would.
If I go there enough, you know, I'm gonna get my rewards out of it. They're gonna comp me.
And that's
there's only 2,782 Starbuckses in California, so yeah, you know, it's not like
everywhere. And all of them know you.
I mean, I can, unless it's been, they've been, which they have been, obviously. I don't know any of the new ones that have been built in the last like 3 to 5 years, but I used to know where every Starbucks in San Francisco was.
Of course you did.
Not for that reason. Early on, one of my first jobs, I worked in a family building maintenance company, and one of our big contracts was Starbucks. So I would actually go
to Starbucks. Okay.
No. Nope. Okay.
Must be somebody else. Yeah.
Regardless of the point. So essentially, what is, you know, TikTok is now ingrained in the music industry. That's the point of this story. And so copyright law and all this other stuff has kind of come to roost, I guess you could say. And Universal decided, we don't need this. And Universal, UMG specifically, the music group of it, you know, is one of those that is, I'd argue, like in the big three, the big five of the music labels, right?
They
own a lot of people's music that, you know, a lot of artists that are dead, right? For example. And that'll come back to that. But essentially, TikTok and Universal have been trying to strike a deal, you know, to further their partnership or whatever.
Sure.
And Universal said, nah, we don't need you, fam. And pulled all of their music from TikTok.
Ah, okay.
And the funny thing is now I haven't seen a lot of them, right? But it's basically the equivalent of that is them remove is like they just literally rip it all out of, you know, of TikTok's data. And so any video that you've, like, let's say you record a video of you dancing to a song, right? And Universal owns it. Song is gone. Just the song removed. That's it.
And you're just watching somebody dance to nothing.
Yep.
It's like silent.
Yep.
Wow.
And I was like, a good example that I saw as an artist, right? I follow a couple of bands on there because, you know, there are some that are actually like prevalent on social media, right? Like, so a good example of this is One Republic. And One Republic, I came across one of their videos and it was like crowd footage, right? Of them performing. And then one of them is just yelling the lyrics to the song over it as a soundbite. They're like, this is all of our music now because we can't put it on social media anymore.
Oh, so they like, you're saying that they re-recorded them yelling just so it's.
No, so, but like there's no instrumentals, no nothing. It's just one of them, the vocalist yelling, like trying to sing the song, but it's just him like alone in the studio, just yelling as a track over the video.
Okay, so that's how it was originally recorded, and then because they removed whatever they added after the fact, it's just that?
No, what I'm saying is they had the song originally over it, right?
Yeah, right.
And they took the song away, okay? So the song is gone, so it was listed as just, you know, sound removed, and that was it, right?
Right.
And then the vocalist just re-recorded himself trying to sing the song without, you know, any production, there's no nothing, and just like him like comically singing badly
over. Oh, I see. That's what I originally said if he re-recorded it.
Yeah. So you confused me, that's all. But yes, okay. That's essentially what it was.
Okay, so
and I mean and Universal owns so much of this, right?
Yeah.
And like, for example, because this comes around the timing of the Super Bowl, right? Universal owns Taylor Swift's music, both the original and Taylor's version.
Oh, yeah. So after that whole battle she did to like redo her music, and now it sounds like she's back in that sort of, if I'm understanding correctly, it's almost like she's back to square one in a sense. Maybe not to the same extent, but just like in a similar vein. Does anything that I said make sense? Oh, you're just gonna give me the silent treatment now, huh?
Oh, I was there a little bit, yeah. So that's kind of yes and no, right? Because the argument was, oh, Universal owns, you know, Taylor Swift's music, right? And so then everyone was asking, well, what about Taylor's version, right? Because, you know, Taylor famously went through and recorded most of her music and re-recorded it as her version so that she could have the legal masters to it, essentially.
Yeah.
And while she still has it, I think the partnership between her and Universal is Universal owns the distribution rights to it, right?
Uh-huh.
And so that's why they're still allowed to pull it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But so the argument is, right, they're like, okay, well, Universal is at fault, right? Because, you know, this is harming smaller artists.
Yeah. Which
it obviously is, right?
Right.
But there's an interesting point here, right? So because the music industry landscape has changed.
Yeah. Right?
And Universal is one of those companies that basically has worked with Spotify, with SoundCloud, with, you know, Apple Music, whatever, insert music streaming platform here,
mm-hmm.
to get artists to be paid as little as possible.
Oh, okay. So they're even more villainous.
Yes. Okay. And so, like, I mean, like, a good example, right, is you could, like, let's say you have a song that, before all this, right, let's say you have a song that blows up on TikTok. So you're one of those artists that has, like, maybe, you know, under 50K for most of your music, and then you have one that's, like, 1.5, right?
Yeah.
Basically, because music artists don't make a lot of money from streaming. It's famously known that they just don't.
Right. And I guess because of the assholes at Universal, apparently.
Well, yeah, and other music labels, but yes, that is a good point.
Disgusting.
Well, it is disgusting, but I'll kind of explain loosely why they did that, and at least I guess you could say in a broad stroke of a good way. I don't know how to put that.
Regardless, well, you do math. Love your broad strokes.
I do love my broad strokes. We'll girl math this a little bit. So let's take Spotify, right? And let's take your song that made 1.5, right?
Right.
Or that was streamed 1.5 million times. In today's money, if you are not a big artist, like say, you know, you're not the Beyonce, you're not the Swift, you're not
right.
the Eagles, right?
The Eagle. I love how you, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, the Eagles.
Yep. That's top of mind, whatever. Basically, you probably only made maybe 50 grand from that song. So, like, congrats, okay. You made minimum wage.
Yeah.
So, in today's scope, and this has been true for, you know, decades at this point, but most artists make their money from live shows, right?
Right.
And touring and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so Universal cutting the cord that is essentially of, you know, artists being seen, right, and being discovered, it harms it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And however, if you watch, and I do recommend this as part of this episode, I know we have an whole episode about it in the past. If you watch the Spotify documentary that came out, they cover the negotiations between Universal and Spotify and, like, getting music to be able to be streamed and, like, being accessible in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They cover that very intensively.
Okay.
My stupid chair is not being comfortable today. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. First thing, I thought you wanted me to vamp or something.
No. Anyway. So that's where, like, Universal, let's make Universal the big bad here for a second. You know, we wouldn't have access to most music now, especially that if Universal owns, if they hadn't struck that deal with Spotify in the first place, right?
Okay, so it's kind of like a, well, yes, they're evil, but also they gave people affordable access to music, I guess.
Right, exactly.
But wasn't, but like... there's so much music on YouTube that you just listen to for free. So,
but then also that's also because it's the same similar reason of why, like YouTube now has partnerships with music labels, right? And that prevents those music videos and clips from going down because, you know, you can post, like, let's say you can take a look, let's go to the Eagles. You can take a video of the Eagles, Hotel California, right?
Right.
Throw some album art on it, put it on YouTube, right? You're going to get either the sound, the video taken down, right? Or the sound claim or something claimed from it because that's the music, the music industry is predatory towards that thing.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. The music industry wants their artists to be paid and wants their artists to be paid so they get paid.
Right.
That's all it is. And so, like, the argument was, right, that surrounding all this, that if you're signed with Universal, right, you're still going to get, you'll still have, you know, you don't necessarily make a lot of money from streaming anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're going to be able to make your money from your tours, right?
Sure, sure.
However, if you look at Universal, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it makes this being Universal doing this is more interesting. You know, a lot of Universal's music, right? Because they are famously, I'm not going to say predatorial, but they are predatorial about it, about buying up the masters and rights to artists that are dead, right?
Yeah.
And so those artists can't necessarily tour, right? I think Universal owns the rights to the Beatles. You know, that's a good example.
Well, what do you mean they can't necessarily tour? Oh, I see. So you're saying that, like, what you mean to say is that, like, they're buying up rights to... So it's like a band where, like, some of the members are dead. Then they'll snatch up the rights.
Right. Okay, a good example. Like, Nirvana, right? Let's say if they owned Nirvana. I don't think they do, but if they did, right? Nirvana can't go tour.
Yeah, because they still...
All the money is from, you know, whatnot.
Yeah, because all the members from Nirvana are still alive aside from Kurt Cobain, right?
Yeah, I think so. I know a good chunk of them, like, why can't I remember his name?
Christoph or something? Christoph something?
No.
The Foo Fighters guy, Dave Grohl?
Yeah, thank you, Dave Grohl. Yeah, who went and made Foo Fighters and whatnot. Which is arguably a bigger band at this point.
Well... At this point, yeah. At this point today, Foo Fighters became a bigger band than Nirvana.
Oh, yeah. So that's kind of like the argument, right? Why Universal is doing this kind of thing. And Universal released a statement, and their statements, I'm not going to go read through the whole thing, but the bullet points, why they don't agree with TikTok is for user safety, use of AI on the platform, and... Copyright, I believe that's what the big three were.
Okay, well, interesting that they're taking a stand on AI because I know a lot of, you know, a big part of the whole, you know, and I don't know where Universal was involved in all this, but a big part of the whole, you know, film industry strikes that were going on had to do with, like, AI, so.
Yeah, I will say maybe it's also just because it's not in my feed anymore, per se. I do see a lot less AI generated cover, like music covers, because that was a big thing.
Okay.
Using people's voices and doing that. I'm seeing a lot less of those in my feed. I'm not saying I'm seeing a lot less of AI things in my feed, because frankly, there's a trend that maybe it's just this individual person that I love and I think is such a funny idea. And it's using AI to generate themed Pokemon games in like slideshows and stuff. And like based off of, you know, like, oh, make one off of India, right? And they take the concept of India and the stylings of India and make, you know, three custom Pokemon, you know, elemental trees, like starter Pokemons and trainers and stuff. So there's some usage there that I'm like, oh, so I'm still like keeping AI in my feed, but now, you know, less in the music sense.
It would be better if a person made it.
Okay, well, yes, but... That's not.
Sorry, I'm gonna,
that's an argument. That's an argument for next episode.
Fine. I'm gonna poo-poo on anybody tries to say that there's any good use of AI. I'm just gonna poo-poo on it. Sorry, I'm a strong anti-AI individual.
I was gonna say for an example, I was scrolling through TikTok this really early this morning because I was up late because we weren't sure if we were going to record today. And so I was scrolling through in the last video I saw, which I will say scarily did a good job. I could still tell it was AI, right?
Yeah. That's
but it was getting closer. It was Sway by Jason Derulo, or it's basically the sample of Spicy Margarita, which is, if you haven't heard that song, it's a good song. It's Jason Derulo and Michael Bublé. Weird combo. But it was that song covered by Billie Eilish. And it was good. But I also don't think there's a lot of, you know, you could get a pretty good solid like baseline level of Billie Eilish, you know, her musical style. I could see that. But regardless, it's not the point.
Yeah.
There's a last thing I'll touch on this whole debacle with Universal and whatnot. A good example of this, and I am victim of this, in my opinion, is Fleetwood Mac, right?
Ah.
Thanks to TikTok, thanks to, you know, their uses of their sounds and their music and whatnot, Fleetwood Mac, after 30 years after, you know, their creation or their formation, has recharted.
Wait, things 30 like years after their formation? Think about that.
Okay, you know what? Okay.
You're doing one of those. No, you're doing one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, the 1960s, that was 30 years ago. Oh wait, no, 30 years ago was the 1990s. One of those classic memes.
Okay, fine. Since they broke up, or 60 years, however long, I don't know when Fleetwood Mac was made.
Okay, yeah.
I don't.
Fair enough.
I don't know when they were formed. I don't know when they were molded out of the ether. But that's an example of the latest one. There's a lot of, you know, artists because, unfortunately, the Gen Z is considered the Christopher Columbus generation, right? They discover things and claim it as their own, that there's their thing. So they're the Christopher Columbus generation. And so a lot of them are rediscovering Fleetwood Mac. And so then they're the ones who go to Spotify, Apple Music, listen to it on loop, and thus chart again.
Well, and
I'm a victim of that because, like, I knew...
Because you're practically Gen Z. You're Gen Z in disguise.
Sure. But I knew... I was not familiar with Fleetwood Mac specifically. Mm-hmm. I knew, like, Go Your Own Way was the one I knew.
Yeah, that
one. The Chain I was familiar with.
Yeah.
I liked Stevie Nicks' solo stuff better, like Edge of 17. Solid song.
Oh, she's amazing. Yeah, I'm a huge.
However, I'm stuck. I will repeat listening to Dreams. I'm obsessed with that song.
Oh, I love that song. And I'll tell you what,
it's good. I was listening to it when you came into the recording studio.
Yeah, that's a song that for me is, I don't know. That's the one that anytime I hear it, it puts me in a different place. It is kind of a magical song, and it's her best song. I mean, it's her doing what she does best at her maximum. Very ethereal, very like angelic voice.
Even if it is part one of an argument, you know, on stage, just musically, they're having an argument on stage.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true. That's a whole thing. But yeah, no, when I first heard Dreams, many many years ago, I didn't like it initially. But then I listened to it again, and I was like, oh, this is like one of my favorite songs. But
But that's the reason. Like, legitimately, I found it because there's a joke. One of the girls that's in our, you know, like we have a thread of like four or five people that we all just send TikToks to each other, right? That's the meme, you know, friendships are so low maintenance nowadays that if you just send TikToks throughout the day, you're fine.
Yeah.
And she has severe ADHD to the point of it's frustrating to me.
Yeah.
And one of the series of videos she likes, and it's also possibly because she has, you know, young twins, so they're of the age where this would still, you know, appeal to them, right? Are what called sensory overload videos, where basically it's just a bunch of dancing fruit and they're dancing to a song.
Oh, wow.
And
sounds brilliant.
It's I hate to say that it worked on me, but I came across one of these and it was synced to Dreams. And one of the things is a dancing avocado in a dinosaur hat. And I was like, that's a vibe. I like it. And that re-entered Fleetwood Mac into my rotation, I guess you could say.
Was it? Because I actually remember when Dreams was like a big thing on TikTok. I remember hearing about it and like everyone was, it was like Dreams was like the big, it was like before, it was before Kate Bush running up that hill kind of got huge. But that was a while ago though, the whole Dreams, wasn't it? Like maybe even pre-pandemic, or is that?
I would say probably the start, because I think the start is roughly when that season of Stranger Things came out.
No, I'm talking about Dreams.
No, so that's what I'm saying. So like, I think Dreams started to pop off a little bit in that same era, because they're stylistically a very similar style of music.
Well, right? Okay, so the season 4 of Stranger Things was definitely post pandemic. It was probably,
I don't know,
2022. I think it was 2022 was season 4 of.
Vamp, and I'll find out.
Vamping over here. Well, did you already?
Oh shit, you're right.
Yep. Okay. See.
All right. Yeah. So, regardless, not necessarily the point of the story, but like, just Fleetwood Mac was the example. Fleet Metal Mac. But also, like, I think it's weirdly enough, because I can tell why it's still in my rotation. Like, I admit it's still a good song, right? Mm-hmm. But it's in my rotation because it's similar, not necessarily like identical, right? But it's in the similar vein to what else I'm listening to right now.
Yeah.
I'm really into, and this is main, it was peaked because of Saltburn.
Of all things. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
You know, Murder on the Dance Floor, right? Like indirectly, like I'm in the realm of like new disco dance pop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Murder on the Dance Floor, there's Dance Out of My Head, I think it's what the song's called, by Kat, can't remember her last name, which I feel bad because she's on TikTok and she is like dying of cancer, essentially what her story is.
Yeah.
And so she's like, this is her last song, and she's trying to get it, you know, as viral as possible while she's going through cancer treatments, so she can leave something to her son when she passes away. That's the story of her like single.
Okay.
And it's charting now. People are listening. Like, I think it's got like 3 or 4 million streams on Spotify, and it's charted like 11th on Billboard, I think.
Okay. A little bit of a sort of a bittersweet yet kind of uplifting.
Right. And it is a good song. It's very like, you know, new disco dance pop.
I thought you said, you know, nudist.
No, new disco.
Okay. It's like, how is that a musical genre?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't a music genre, frankly.
It's just Gen Z rediscovering acoustic.
Yep. Nudecore. Nude wave.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, but again, it's in that similar vein, right? It fits in there with that, and I'm on a city pop trip, so I've been listening to a lot of city pop.
Oh, so, like that's city pop, as in like Plastic Love.
Yep,
that's a great song. City pop is pretty cool. I appreciate that. That's like, city pop is kind of like what, 70s, 80s Japan, like sort of like you know, kind of easy listening rock. Is that right?
Yeah, that's about where we're at.
By the way, I do have a recommendation for you specifically. And anybody else who's listening, since you're getting into Dreams, have you ever heard of Buckingham Nicks? And he goes silent again.
I keep adjusting my damn chair because my damn chair is so loud. No, I have not.
Okay, so Buckingham Nicks was an album that was recorded and released before Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham joined Fleetwood Mac. It's actually what got them into the band. And in fact, they wanted Lindsey Buckingham because they were looking for a new guitarist. And he was like, well, you got to take Stevie Nicks too, which, you know, again, that's, you know, that was like the best thing they could have done, really. Yeah. But yeah, so basically this was an album they made before they, you know, before like all the drama happened, while they were still, right. I guess, very much in love. And it's really good. It's got like a, you know, like there's this one song in there called Crystal, which was re-recorded for the first album that had Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham on. It was like the first, the album's just called Fleetwood Mac, and it was that was the Rumours era. That was the formation of the Rumours era before, you know, like, cause originally it was Peter Green started the band, and like, it was like sort of blues band or whatever that went through many different personnel shifts before eventually landing on the Rumours era.
Right.
And so Buckingham, anyway, so yeah, they re-recorded Crystal for the Fleetwood Mac self-titled album. And Stevie Nicks recorded a version of it for one of her solo albums. And I have to say,
okay,
the one on Buckingham Nicks, like, again, Stevie Nicks is like my favorite. She's got an incredible voice. But Lindsey Buckingham sings that song, Crystal, for both the Buckingham Nicks album and the re-recorded version for the Fleetwood Mac album.
Yeah.
But that first version is by far, I think, the best. There's just something about it. And Stevie Nicks wrote that song, I believe. But it was still, Buckingham performed it for the first two iterations for whatever reason. And
interesting.
It's a beautiful song. Absolutely beautiful. There's other, you know, like every song on that album is great. The song Frozen Love is actually what got the Fleetwood Mac folks interested in Lindsey Buckingham, because I guess it's a guitar playing or whatever in that song. Hmm.
All right, I'll add to the list to check out.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever released on CD. I don't believe.
Interesting. I'll have to go hunt it for you.
Yeah, I mean, it might be on Spotify, but like it's you can find the album on YouTube. It's fine.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll add it to the queue.
Definitely, add it to the queue.
Add it to the
queue continuum.
Believe me, it is a continuum of a queue. It definitely is. Okay, well, that's the gist of the story, essentially. You know, it's only two or three days as of recording since, you know, their announcement. So we're watching still, you know, for Fallout and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. I never really got to form an opinion on this whole thing. That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, well.
Maybe we'll do a follow-up episode. Yeah, at this point, I'm like, I think there's so much that's been said. It's like, I don't even remember. I don't even know what my opinion is anymore.
Right. I'll throw the last little interesting tidbit, which we could, as part of the follow-up, we can talk about it, you know, in another episode. Let us know if you want us to talk about the Beyonce drama that's happening right now. It's actually interesting for once.
You don't say.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So, I'll just pitch you a little bit.
Well, that was you know.
No, I'll pitch you a little bit regardless.
A little wordplay. All right. Fine.
Yeah. Beyonce, is releasing a country album.
Mm-hmm.
And country albums are like, or country radio stations are like, no, we won't play it. It's not country.
Oh wow.
Anyway, that's the gist. And interesting. I'll say it's good. There's two songs. I can't remember her second single, but the one that's more dancey, I guess you could say, that's more in like, you know, the Beyonce, you know, it has more of a Beyonce feel, I guess you could say.
Yeah, interesting.
Is Texas Hold'em, and it's a good song. It's very country.
Interesting.
They've already got the viral. They're already getting the viral, you know, line dancing dance routine on TikTok for it. So
I guess I don't know. It's hard. It's hard for me to understand why someone who isn't a country artist would want to record a country album, because, well, you know, I'm not, it's, I don't really like country music though. So that's,
yeah. Well, yeah. Her argument is, you know, cause if you really look back into it, right.
Mm-hmm.
Or the origination of country music is in like, you know, slavery and the African American.
Oh
like,
yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And so that's her focus, really.
Okay. No, I understand.
So
that
makes more sense. So, yeah. But yeah, I'll take that. That's a really loud car line. I'll take your recommendation, and if for some reason you're listening to this and you haven't heard the two Beyonce songs, go listen to them because they're pretty good.
All right, we got a bunch of
and Dreams by Fleetwood Mac if you haven't heard it.
And check out A Star Is Born. I just watched that last night. It was great.
Which version?
The new one, the one with Lady Gaga.
Like, I think that, I think Cooper. I think that's the fourth. fourth version.
Is there a version after that?
No, that is the most recent one, though.
Yeah, it's good. It's very good. And, like, it reminds me of, like, the stuff that you're talking about, like, with the Undiscovered Artist thing. Like, it kind of, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Highly recommend it. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You know, like, rate, share, do all the things.
Yeah.
And, yeah, well, let us know if you want us to do another dive into, like, the current state of the music industry, because, you know, there is a lot more to talk about. But, yeah, this is just the fundamental of where we're at this point. So,
yeah.
I hope you enjoy, and we'll catch you next week.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. I don't remember how to end things.
That is your...
There it is.